there's these counterinsurgency wars that are already taking place. And so you guys got to get deadly serious about your actions and your plans, because you must understand something. They are going for the throat. They're going to try to dismantle the resistance before it ever actually fights at all.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so much for coming on back to the show. That was my friend Nathan Reynolds, and this is a not-to-be-missed interview. In this one, we talk about strategic relocation and the fact that many people are in the grasp of normalcy bias, and they still don't recognize that World War III is upon us. Additionally, guys, I would really ask for your prayers for me and my family. We're under heavy spiritual attack. And I thank you all so much for tuning in. Before we start this one, just a quick word about our sponsor. If you keep your money in a bank, listen up, your savings are at risk. A good portion of the banking system is under extreme stress, and some have actually collapsed. The dangers are clearer than ever. Car loans are defaulting. Credit card debt is ballooning to an all-time high. Commercial real estate is collapsing. But there is a safe and easy way to protect your financial future. Gold. Now, there are no guarantees of any kind, and investing in anything is always a risk, but gold is outside the government's reach and safe from economic policies like trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. In fact, this government is adding $1 trillion of debt every 100 days. Gold allows you to lock in today's value in the face of tomorrow's uncertainty. Don't wait for the next headline, crash, or bank run to act. Contact Noble Gold Investments today and safeguard your tomorrow. As a bonus, they'll give you a free quarter-ounce gold standard coin as a thank you for opening a qualified account. Just visit noblegoldinvestments.com to claim your gold coin or call them at 877-646-5347. The link is below. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. It's great to have you back. Trolls and friends alike. Guys, honestly, in this one, I think we're going to scratch the surface on some really important things, not the least of which is strategic relocation, because the quickening is upon us, and the multiple vector points of attack against the American people cannot be overstated by this broadcaster, and we're going to talk about all of it today. Permaculture. What are you going to do when the SHTF happens, guys? Are you going to stay put? You're just going to hunker down with weapons and try to hold off the hordes when things get that bad? Because I can assure you, we're very close to a Bolshevik-style revolution in the United States. Nathan Reynolds is back. Nathan, we're going to talk about that and so much more, aren't we?
You betcha. We're going to run and gun tonight. Come on now.
How are you, brother? How you been?
Man, living dangerously. I couldn't be more fired up. I got out and I was doing some property design layouts for some permaculture stuff. And I was out with an amazing person named Billy Bond, who has a Permapastures Farm YouTube channel, if you guys want to check it out, or his website as well. But man, I couldn't be more excited, because I've been weighed down into the thick of it, like a lot of folks out there. I mean, there's just an onslaught of information that's smashing into people right now. And it's making some people just get stuck. It's called analysis paralysis. But you know what? There's also those that have weathered those storms before, and they've got actionable plans, and they're making their way out of it. And so I spent a good afternoon with somebody doing that today, and I'm greatly relieved that I did that.
Well, tell us more about it in this broadcast, because I've been taking a bit of heat lately in the comments just merely by talking about back of the envelope escape plans, be it Mexico, El Salvador, maybe you want to go to the Great American Redoubt. Everybody needs to make a plan at this point, because it's very clear that the blue states have fallen. Case in point, New York specifically, giving some $1,400 a month to illegals, plus free housing, plus a $65 a day per diem for food. Guys, this is absolute engineered chaos. And in this one, I want to talk about normalcy bias, cognitive dissonance, because what some of you don't realize is that when the Bolshevik Revolution happened in Russia, it was lights out for millions and millions and millions of people. This is a rinse and repeat strategy by the globalist New World Order. Before we go any further, and I want to just cite some of the most recent evidences of this multifaceted attack, Nathan, do you think I have any of that wrong? Can you help people understand that they have to take this stuff seriously, and your normalcy bias and your cognitive dissonance won't protect you when the Bolsheviks start knocking on your door?
Well, first of all, I would say one of the most beneficial things that anybody can do is to equip themselves with an understanding of what actually takes place during these types of revolutions. You know, like I took a course in college, and one of my favorite things I ever studied was history. And I took a course on Russian history and the Soviet history. And you know what, when you actually go back in time to, you know, the 17th century, the 18th century, the 19th century, there is these microcosms of how empires grew and rose and fell over and over and over again. And you know what, when you go back like into the early 1800s, and you know, you had Tsar Alexander, who was one of the first, by the way, who actually drove out the Jesuits. He was somebody that saw the rampant infiltration agents who were destroying the country from within, side these subterfuge tactics of these insidious people that are willing to masquerade with whatever hat they've got to put on in order to get into the position that they need to be in. And they literally swear oaths that they can do anything it takes in order to advance the papal agenda, right? This is just one of those illustrations where finally a ruler of his people got to a place where he utterly drove them out. I believe in 1825, he drove out all of the Freemasonics. He banned them from operating within that society. Now, he was soon thereafter killed off, you know, through poisoning. But during the course of that, I mean, it shook echoes into the culture because he was able to make a stand against these agents of evil and this subterfuge that was coming in and infecting his nation. And this is the stuff that drove that revolution that happened later on. It was because of those actions of that man, because it gave his country an opportunity to purge the evil from amongst itself and to establish the core values, the morality, the authenticity of how people wanted to live, got to be filled in during that time, during the 1800s, until it was set up for the absolute destruction of it that came in later on, like with the Bolshevik Revolution. But if you go back and you actually can examine these things, like this is a book that I highly recommend called War in the Shadows, and by Robert B. Asprey. This was a book that goes through the historical struggles of different kinds of people, but also through the tactics of guerrilla fighters and people that, how did they actually fight back successfully or unsuccessfully, all the way back from Alexander and Macedonia all the way to modernity. And he examines what were some of the strategies that were very effective for them and what were some of the biggest downfalls of those organizations, and how did certain empires like the British become so successful at putting down these types of uprisings, and why is it that these same change agents, whether it's the Tavistock Institute or the Fabian Socialist Society, these wolves in sheep's clothing, how is it that they're so effective at weaponizing today information to put the people to sleep? Really, it's not that they're weaponizing religion as they once did, in the sense to tranquilize a lot of the people, but now they're weaponizing information. And it's like I was telling you even before we got started, never before have I been able to have such current events from a battlefront as I can have from TikTok or Twitter. Never before did I get notifications that Russian strategic bombers are taking off and are in route within 10 minutes of them taking off. I've got notifications about it and the suspected loads and targeting strategies that they have. That has never taken place in my history of life, but this is what's available to me on the outside, no longer in the military. And it's changed the way that people, who most of us are not trained to handle that information or what it means or the radical implications it can have. And so because of that, there's a lot of people who are getting flooded with so much information being filtered through such a narrow mouthpiece. These project, I mean, this is truly Mockingbird, that's just infiltrated so many of these positions of influence through our media. So they're getting force fed from so many designed, orchestrated feeding systems that they're only able to see it through the lens that their mouth speaking media agent is giving it to them. And it's causing people to get stuck all too often. But you know what? The way to break out of that is with an absolute ability to make effective, logical decisions, even amidst an overwhelming barrage of information.
You know, it's so interesting because that, I would say, despicable rabbi was just on Alex Jones today and they did a debate, and the man showed his true colors, in my opinion. So I want to ask you about Jews in general at some point in this conversation. But first, I just want to level set for folks about what we're up against. Because again, normalcy bias and cognitive dissonance is not allowing the sheeple people to wake up. Now, my audience, your audience, Nathan, they're pretty well informed about what's really going on because they seek out real news sources. They don't rely on CNN and the Mockingbird whore mainstream media. Russia was attacked, and it's pretty clear to anyone that can think that the attackers were probably funded by the same people that blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. It doesn't take a genius to stitch it together. Now, Russia is saying the U.S. backed itself into a corner by blaming ISIS for the Moscow attack as fires burned. It's a little too soon to pick the correct suspects. Okay, that's the same thing that happened on 9/11. Oh, it was probably Osama bin Laden. I watched it live, guys. That's how you know it's CIA. By the way, a cattle tracking provision that will limit beef supply just passed in the omnibus bill. On the back of that, Oregon farms are being targeted and shut down. And get this, the Australians have just passed a digital ID bill. So track and trace, the World Economic Forum's wet dream is coming into play in Australia, and it's exactly what they want to do here. And what are some of the other vectors of attack? Well, Elon Musk just retweeted this, and it's really important that people understand. France banned mail-in voting in 1975 due to fraud. Mexico did the same in 1992 due to fraud. Belgium, they banned mail-in voting in 2018 due to fraud. Sweden does not permit mail-in voting. Italy does not do mail-in voting. Ukraine won't even do mail-in voting. Russia doesn't permit it. Japan doesn't permit it. No Middle Eastern countries permit mail-in voting, and no Latin countries permit mail-in voting. Meanwhile, after the tougher on crime candidate led by 10,000 votes in Chicago's Cook County's state attorney race, 10,000 mail-in ballots were found due to human error. Now the race is separated by only 1% of votes. Guys, do you see what's going on here? It's a multi-vector attack against we the people and people all over the United States. But I've left out one key vector point. Are you ready for this? These are the brave and courageous words of Dr. James Thorpe.
This is not only the deadliest drug out, this is very important to understand for the viewers. This is the most injurious drug in the history of military warfare. This has a higher injure to kill ratio than any military war in the last half a century. And it has the highest injure to kill ratio of any drug ever put out. The butchers, Borla and Bansal, have murdered, killed, and injured 585 million global citizens. And that was of last September. Many would argue many more by now.
Okay, and Nathan, you know what I left out? I left out the recent attack against the Baltimore Bridge that's said to be a complete and total accident. A key piece of infrastructure collapsed in the middle of the night because a ship lost its power. I mean, give me a freaking break, man. We are in the midst of World War III.
You know, even as you're just going over this systemic attack, it reminds me of something that's called a rolling barrage. You know, when you're in trench warfare, which fundamentally is the same methodology that we are all stuck in today, is we are in a game of inches trying to regain ground that is just being perpetually encroached upon from all sides and all different angles. And one of the ways, the methodologies that the enemies would use, like during World War I or even in modernity today, is they would use something called a rolling barrage, where they would launch artillery on just this unbelievable, cataclysmic level of earth-shaking explosions. And as they would do this, they would project it just in front of the line of their own troops so they could launch this devastating barrage of overwhelming explosions. And then they would release all of the troops to come out just on the other side of it so that basically there was a shield of lead leading the way ahead of them. And you know what? It's such a disabling tactic. It reminds me a lot of what happened with this literally the opportunity that Satan got to go after Job. And he just had this one thing after another, literally before one man was done speaking, telling him the news that all of his animals had been taken from him. The next person shows up to tell him all of his children are dead. The next person shows up that all of his servants had been burned. Like, it was just this nonstop, not a moment in between. He was receiving news that was utterly horrifying, you know, and I literally look over and examine what our life is like today. And at any given moment, we can see on the sides of whether it's our informed medical consent options, or whether it's on our food, or whether it's on our clothing, or whether it's coming from our political side, whether it's coming from the religious side or the spiritual side. We are getting attacked from so many different angles. And what it's producing in so many people really is that normalcy bias. They're getting conditioned to being traumatized and put in a stressful situation continually until they're so burned out on it. They literally can't make any decisions to think outside of it. That, hey, there used to be a time when you didn't have to walk down the grocery aisle and be absolutely on guard against every potential food option that they're delivering and giving to you and saying, this is safe. You can trust us. This is food. We promise. We didn't alter it or adulterate it or turn it into something different. You know, like when you really study, because a lot of my passion, you guys, is growing food, is trying to equip people with the skills that so many Americans had. There was such a vibrant culture of self-sufficiency here in this country. And that's why it is enemy number one. Fundamentally, we had high literacy rates and we had high rates of self-starters, people that were innovators, creators, entrepreneurs, people that were incredibly diverse in their skill set. And instead, they have taken us out of this diversity of skills and they've monocropped us. They've turned us into these standing fields of genetically engineered cornfields that can't survive unless continual chemical and synthetic inputs are continually given into us so that we can get along just a little bit further and a little bit further. They've removed from people the ability to make long-term decisions, like the benefits of planting trees, fruit trees and blueberries and bushes, things that will last for years and years and years, as opposed to going ahead and just planting corn, which you're going to have to come back to Monsanto and ask them to give you another Terminator seed to put back in your field. Like this arena is going in so many different directions that it's very hard for most people to truly take it in and still make logical decisions. But it's critical that we arm ourselves with the information to know how to make an informed decision during this time, because these are the choices fundamentally that change our future, because we have to find areas of where we draw lines in the sand, where we fundamentally refuse, that we absolutely abstain. You know, like right now, you're seeing some of the echoes of that resistance rising. You're seeing the effectiveness of what can happen when people make a solid decision to boycott a company. Like you're literally getting to see, hey, we can actually influence some of these corporations to change their tactics by eradicating from them their pay basis. You know, like we've got to see what can happen by Disney going after the parents. I mean, they made their enemies the parents, and they began to launch this weaponization of capturing the imagination against children and tormenting them through this horrible defilement. And really, they're following after these occultists like Aleister Crowley, who said, you've got to expose a child to every sexual act by the age of 9 years old. And then you see that literal agenda become the language that's adopted by the European Union. And then you see that same ideology saying we have to go ahead and show these children all of these things through our sexual education, totally defiling children by the age of 6 years old, 9 years old, 12 years old. They have released this absolute degradation of the children, targeting them through that agenda. But that came through these deep mystics and these people that were trying to find a way to destroy morality. And you watch that bleed over here into America. You know, I was reading another article that was dealing with registration of birds, poultry, that they were mandating registration of. Well, this was what the news headline said. Let me just be clear here, because this is the wordsmith games of people like the Tavistock Institute. They were mandating that anyone who had poultry of less than 50 birds had to register their animals, talk about where they're fed, where they're kept, where they get their water, what animals they are, exactly where you keep them, how you move them. All of that was being told that it was mandatory, right? That's the headlines that's going out, and people are like, oh gosh, I guess I have to register my poultry birds. Meanwhile, before this, they said, yes, it's been something that we have mandated for anybody that had more than 50 poultry. But then you go ahead and read the text for yourself, and they say, this is a voluntary program. But that's not what people heard. That's not what was given to them. And that's that duplicity, that if people aren't literate, not just capable of physically reading, but capable of paying attention and thinking critically as they take in that information, they're going to miss it. And they're going to follow along with an agenda, which is what so many people that were absolutely destroyed, their health were destroyed because they followed the advice of what they thought was a mandatory thing. And yet we're sitting here on the other side of it, and there's this growing divide between those that took the advice and the counsel of people that had been bribed and they had their justice was blinded to them, and were literally watching the fruits of it manifest in their life. And it's horrifying to witness, like that article where you're quoting, and you're looking at 500 million people, and this is just the early phases. This is going on into continuity. There is going to be another rollout of another even greater weaponization of all of these things, and we have to be literate so that we are not taken captive to fall into the snares that have been laid out there for us.
I think that's very well said. I have a follow-up on something you said, though. By the way, on the other side of every mandate is the enemy. Y'all need to remember that. Think of what they did to you with the lockdowns and the mandates. The enemy is the one that delivered those marching orders. So once everybody wakes up and no longer complies, the enemy is largely neutered. However, you said something really important about corporations, and we've learned we can have some power against the evil woke corporations. Here's the problem. The corporations at this point are merely the foot soldiers of the New World Order. And what really scares me and keeps me up at night is thinking about the Weather Underground and the admission by them that they would have to kill 20 to 30 million Americans who couldn't be re-educated to the new ways when they took over the government with their communist Marxist form of government. And what that makes me think, Nathan, is that even if our listeners have a backup plan in mind and they want to escape to the Great American Redoubt filled with patriots, if there's another stolen election and they put another Marxist in the office of president like they did with Biden, it's game over. Because believe me, friends, it's not just the Bolsheviks coming door to door. It's a criminal, rotten New World Order government calling anybody who's not in line with their policies an insurgent, a revolutionary. And then they send out the drones. So, I mean, I think it's getting that bad, Nathan. You tell me if I'm wrong. Am I jumping the gun? Because I'm a student of history. And what I see happening here, I feel like we're in 1936, 1937 Germany.
Yeah. Well, I think you're absolutely, your observations are incredibly keen. And the reason, something not to miss about the statistic you quoted about them saying, you know, 20 to 30 million Americans would have to be killed off in order for this to be effective. Listen, those 20 to 30 million people, I think is a gross, contained within that number are some of the most highly trained and highly skilled resistance fighters that this world has ever churned out. You got to understand something. There is a need for people to be very strategic about the level of resistance that they bring, because a small squad of 10 to 15 seriously trained, like tier one guys, okay, when you talk about what real special forces guys get to do, they dismantle cities overnight. And it's not just a small thing. Like, I've trained with guys that shot 1,000 rounds of ammunition every day, like it was all they ever did. When you take a couple of those guys and you turn them loose to go ahead and stop and put up a resistance against all kinds of forces, you're dang right that they're going to have to launch everything they have to try to eradicate those people. But understand, even within the relocation community and those places where on the map you're thinking about, okay, like with strategic relocation, and you're like, I want to pick an area where lots of other people that are like-minded to me have relocated to. And you're like, yes, let's do that. You know, let me give an example here, because we traveled all over the country, you guys, trying to do terrain mapping, finding out what these different areas were like, not just for growing food and providing for my family and providing for the needs of a community at large, but also for being able to put up a defensible resistance to that massive infiltration coming against you. And let me tell you, what I started finding in a lot of these areas where there was a high concentration of it, all the very telltale markers of infiltration from those very same agencies. Like, let me give you an example. In an area called Ava, Missouri, this is one of the places where we got this overwhelming sense that this area was saturated, because the way that the military through non-government agencies, NGOs, and alphabet soup agencies had sent in so many of their own assets, but these were guys that were said to be retired or guys that were no longer on the books, and yet they were still receiving a lot of cutouts and paychecks. And we began to hear all these stories of child trafficking that were being centered around and interchanged at the hub of this. And you know what we began to see is a lot of those false flags being set up from inside, where they were going to try to connect all of these patriot, conservative, Christian, strong, whole Bible believing people in with this human trafficking and child exploitation sex trafficking ring that was being operated out of the center of that city. Even just a little bit further out from there, when we went out to this area that's called Lebanon, Missouri, all of the people that had redoubts that were built out there were former nuclear missile Minutemen operators. And so as you're going through these different properties, you suddenly start to see the telltale signs of guys that have dug in, I'm talking about for decades, serious old timers that are waiting to weather that storm. And even inside there, you've got human trafficking rings that are operating. And you see there are these change agents who have been manipulative and infecting these areas to try to bring about a downfall and identify leadership. There's these counterinsurgency wars that are already taking place. And so you guys got to get deadly serious about your actions and your plans, because you must understand something. They are going for the throat. They're going to try to dismantle the resistance before it ever actually fights at all. They understand that the way you do that is to try to, first of all, weaponize this information like we're talking about to knock people out of the fight so that they're too drugged up and stupid to be able to do anything, let alone to actually resist when this stuff takes place. But on the other side of that, we need to be very, very cautious at understanding, hey, we have a small window of time where we must make very good decisions to drive our families away from that agenda. Because what do you think would happen to people if Donald Trump is assassinated and one of their character agents gets shoved into the place of the White House? There is going to be a kicking off of things at such a rapid and incredible pace that it will turn people's heads around. And you know what? We have to be ready to make decisions now so that we're not having to be reactionary during those seasons. And that's why when you still have time, make decisions that are beneficial for yourself, not just for the short term, but for the long term as well.
Very well said. And I want to ask you about permaculture, growing your own food, and share something important with people in just 1 second. But I want your thoughts on this next election, because the last election in 2020, I maintained right through the election, right through the swearing in of the imposter masquerading as president, I predicted that he would not be sworn in because he was a national security threat. Okay, I'm naive. The national security threat was Donald Trump and anybody that would dare put America first to the deep state. So the man was sworn in, you know, rightfully or not, I don't know. I mean, that whole DC swearing in ceremony is still fishy. The troops turned their backs on the man. I've never seen that before. Everybody who can think knows that was a coup. And the result of the coup has been this country absolutely going down the toilet ever since. The borders are wide open. We're at war all over the world with different nation states, Syria, Iraq, you know, now I have Yemen. They want to go to war with Iran and Russia. I mean, this is complete and total madness. So my question to you is, do you think, because I believe the next election matters, and if they steal another one, it's absolute game over. Do you think the next election matters as much as I do? Because if you don't, I don't know what anybody's sticking around for at this point.
Well, I think in a lot of ways, what change has actually brought is the pace at which the agenda of the New World Order still takes place. I think that the hard reality is that that pace can get accelerated to such, is already being accelerated to such an unprecedented level that apart from somebody going into the position and utterly turning it inside out, we are on a runaway course with absolute barbarity. Like you said, revolution in this country, I think, is becoming more and more inevitable. And whether or not we can stave that off through another few years, I think the hard truth is the vast majority of time, the agenda marches on at different paces, but it marches on nonetheless, because there is so much insidious infiltration within the political spheres by agents of evil that even if we can slow it down a bit, it still goes forward. Like, we still have these absolute consequences for all these areas of what has taken place over the last 4 years that are going to have years and decade long of results. Like, when you take just the destruction of the critical infrastructure with the Francis Scott Key Bridge, just that ripple of what that's going to do, you know, like what is actually being trafficked in and out of that bay is far more important to a certain types of people like agriculturalists and farmers. That's a huge deal of any area to have destroyed. Bridges aren't going to be rebuilt in the next 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. There is going to be a massive deficit that's going to have ripples long term. Meanwhile, to try to turn and reconcile and get away from that is going to require somebody that would decisively go in there and turn every one of those coffers to those disgusting little cages that these people have opened up off. And it's very, very difficult to believe that we are actually going to see somebody get in there and truly do that. Because I believe that the only person that they want to put in there that will do that, I am more concerned that they are going to set up Donald Trump to be eradicated so that it will crush the heart of the resistance to such a degree that people will totally give up hope on one side and be willing to be the first ones to pull the punch on the other, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Meanwhile, illegals are flooding in. They're being treated better than we, the people, or veterans, or anybody else in this country. Illegals get it all from this criminal government because the illegals, and look, some of the people are coming here for the right reasons, but honestly, most of these people are military-aged men. These are the Bolsheviks, guys. These are the people that will do the heavy lifting when the SHTF happens. These are the people that will shoot up cities and start going to the suburbs. I fully believe it because I'm seeing it in Detroit as mansions are targeted by well-heeled and organized gangs that are looting and stealing everything that's not tied down in Detroit mansions. Okay, enough on that. We're not going to find any solutions to that tonight, but I firmly believe time is running out. I want to show you guys this. As it relates to pharmakia versus food, real food, GMO-free food, food you grow in your own backyard, the Great American Redoubt, and permaculture, did y'all know that a compound found in broccoli could help dissolve blood clots and prevent stroke? Isn't it interesting? Look at the shape of broccoli. Huh. I bet Nathan has a thing or two to say about this because I want to show you guys this. Oh, yeah, by the way, courts have been begged in New York to allow illegals to vote. Just can't make this up. But here's what I wanted to show you. 10 foods that look just like what you need in your body. Walnuts, good for the brain. Kidney beans, good for the kidneys. Avocados, great for the uterus. Look at the way God built food, guys. It almost is self-evident as to what these things are good for. Carrots? I mean, come on. Tomatoes are great for the heart. Meanwhile, we have Rockefeller Medicine pushing the deadliest drug ever developed in the history of human beings all over the planet. Anyway, foods. God made great food that will keep us healthy, Nathan, but they want us on their pharmakia. They want us in their witchcraft. They want us in their witch's brew of concoctions that are sure to only kill us.
Well, and not only that, they will also want to keep us completely ignorant to the reality that we can grow food of so much diversity and a plethora of things. Like, just take for example here for a second, there's 6,000 different varieties of food that plants that grow that people can eat, 6,000 different kinds of it, and yet we live in a society where nine crops account for 2/3 of all of the calories that people consume. This is something that is absolutely by design, by eliminating all the forms of diversity, like even just with the slide that you just showed up there. Those are a small iota of the plants that are beneficial for our bodies, and specifically in those areas. Like there are so many medicinal and wild plants that are growing easily in areas. They want to be there. They want to be there because it used to be native territory for them. But we have stripped these forests and stripped our fields from all their productivity and all of their usefulness and utility. And we have been conditioned to go and get it from the store, that we would exchange our time for money and then take it and go to the store and get it from these sanitized versions, not understanding by doing that, we've lost the skills. We've lost the skills. Like one of my favorite areas in the entire country is the Appalachian Mountains, because this area was the medicine chest of the entire country. This is where so many of the things that were used for holistic healing were shipped out across the entire country to provide for people the ailments a relief from these ailments that they have. And yet it was orchestrated to be destroyed. It was logged and clear cut, and all of the food that used to be grown here and managed here, people have been managing food out of the forest and out of their fields for thousands of years effectively, until it got turned into this system where one of the key influencers of that is a guy named Francis Bacon. His name sure pops up a lot throughout history, but in his doings, his influence in society, especially in France and in Europe, through this ideology of the New Atlantis, right? And a lot of these infectionism of this Luciferian ideology was to eradicate from people the idea of growing food outside in your landscaping, in your gardens. And instead, they took the celebrities of their day, right? People that had these estates and these manors, and they began to show power and pomp through these manicured lawns, through these beautifully manicured places where no food was actually grown, where you literally had so much wealth and opulence that you could buy it and not grow it yourself. That was a demonstration of that. And instead, we have inherited from that this idea that, oh, that's a way of demonstrating how well I'm doing, is that I don't have to have anything that I need out my door. But when you start to grow those things yourself, when you start to understand that, hey, if I imitate how a forest operates, instead of just planting an orchard and having a bunch of apple trees, if I look at nature, you never see nature just has an abundance of single trees up by itself, but you'll always see bushes, vines, ground cover. You'll see all of these different layers to a forest. And when you can go out your door and you can imitate that by just planting an apple tree and then planting some blueberry bushes around it and planting a nitrogen fixer to supply the nutrients back into the soil that it needs, and then to plant things like garlic and thyme and rosemary and oregano right around it, and you can create what is called a guild. You can create a tiny little ecosystem that's helping to serve each other, that's providing camouflage from predators and insects and predation for some, and it's providing food that grows and increases over time. This is a long-term idea. This is a long-term investment. For those of you that do want to have your 90-day food supply or your one-year food supply, but where are you going to get the second year? Where are you going to get the third year? And this is why permaculture should be an essential tool in your study. Like guys like David the Good, he's one of the gardeners I highly recommend. Billy Bonds from Perma Prep Pastures Farm. These are people that have taken preparedness to the step that goes, what do I do when I need more? What am I going to do for my family long term? And you know what? What it teaches you is all the skill sets that you need along the way, because you're going to get knowledge and skills from doing the things that men were made to do. It will make you a better resistance fighter. It will make you more intelligent. It will make you more multi-skilled and multilingual at being able to interact in different forms of trade and entrepreneurship. You want to talk about a currency that will outlast any version of it, whether you want to talk about silver or gold or food, man, honey. Honey, like I was reading Billy's book called Scrapsteading, Homesteading on a Budget, right? And he talked about what has opened more doors for him of getting stuff that other people didn't necessarily want to part with was honey. He said he has opened more doors of opportunities by getting honey and being able to get people to give him what he needs or what he wants. That's one of those resources that might get so readily overlooked, but you wouldn't have learned that unless, you know, you start keeping bees, because that's something that you want to be able to replenish and renew for yourself. But you know what? As you do that, you can open the doors of relationships that otherwise are going to stay close to you. And you know what? There's no greater time for us to be able to do that, because you're absolutely right. There is an infiltration taking place where there is resistance fighters from the other side that are being financed, they're being fed, they're being clothed, and they're being given housing and lodging in places where they are literally driving out those that might ever put up a resistance. And you know what? As long as they still use those tactics, we must learn how to get to know our neighbors, get to find, build those relationships with them while it's not game on, while we're not in the thick of battles and fighting and fear and dread, because that's the last time you should be trying to build a relationship and a network, is when it's already kicked off and the crap's already hit the fan. Build these relationships early. Plant your gardens, plant your food forests early, so that you're not having to do this stuff in fear and in panic as a reaction to no more eggs being at the store. Just don't forget, you guys, a few years ago, people for the first time in their life in 50, 60 years drove to the grocery store and were, some of them, not allowed to get in anymore. Some of them were walking in and seeing bare shelves and understanding, I can't get eggs anymore. Those were the first two things that were gone, were eggs and meat. But you know what? You can build something called a chicken tractor on steroid and have meat and eggs and compost coming out of the rear end of this thing so that you can put that into your food force and cultivate your soil like never before. You can provide those things on a small scale. You can feed communities through a chicken tractor. And just that alone is such a transformation, because you can start to provide the needs of not just for your family, but the people of around you. And you know what? You make yourself invaluable. You make yourself irreplaceable in that network. And it makes you somebody that's needed. And that's one of those long-term goals that every one of us should be engineering their life around.
Perfectly stated. You know, you said something that really resonated with me. I've thought about this a lot. I've spoken about it in the past, and it's the idea that the elite have got us so whipsawed, and we're all guilty of this. I'm guilty of it. I like to have a green lawn that's, you know, freshly mowed and looks great for the neighbors, makes my house look better. But why? Think about how these people, the money masters, have separated us from everything that makes life meaningful. I'll show you an example. So this is Waddesdon Manor. This is a Rothschild estate in the UK. And the whole idea of this lawn that they have, fully manicured, you know, back in the late 1800s, is as the kings and queens and the visitors would come up in horse-drawn carriages, they would marvel at the estate, for only a Rothschild could own such a place. This is what kings and queens said at the time. And the idea of manicuring the lawns and having gardens as far as the eye could see was just a demonstration of their earthly wealth. But what is the real wealth on earth? It's getting your hands dirty, getting on the soil, getting barefoot. It's tilling the soil, growing the food, right? You know who got it right? The Amish got it right. No 5G, no EMF, no autism, no vaccines. The Amish got it right. And I just think it's spot on what you just said, man, because think about it. If everybody would grow a garden in the backyard and till it and be one with nature, you'd get the electrons shooting up through your feet. You obviously feel better immediately. The science is clear. There's health benefits. Not only that, your food is clean and pure, and you're not wasting your little bit of acreage. We've all been brainwashed. And you know who's not brainwashed? You, my friend. Nathan Reynolds, the author of Snatched from the Flames. Hey, before we go, I want you to comment on anything I just said, and then remind us, who are these people? I jotted down the names, Billy Bonds and David Good.
Let me grab their book for 1 second. This is Billy Bonds' book here that he wrote with another guy named Matt Hundley. And this is absolutely, it's a small, quick read. You guys can do this. And in here, scrapsteading is a way of homesteading and trying to grow and cultivate your own land on a small scale, even if it is like one of those small suburban acres. They've got a lot of suggestions for how you can utilize that and how to do it on a budget so that it's not just high inputs, because a lot of people will jump into this and they think they can just kind of throw money and amendments at everything to fix it. But you know what? There's simple ways of design. And if you could take a little bit, slow down, take some time to follow the advice, like careful instructions of people that have done this successfully. Listen, don't try to imitate somebody that's not done it successfully and can show you the evidence. You know, like I went out to Billy's farm. Man, I'll love to connect you guys. Billy Bond is his name, permapasturesfarm.com. Highly recommended. He has endless hundreds of videos that you can go see these different designs of how you can raise sheep and raise chickens, even on a small scale, or you can raise a garden on into the right way, or raise one of these food forests, these food guilds, like I was saying. And so does this other guy here, David the Good. Billy Bond, by the way, was a former sapper in the United States military, and he took a lot of that type of mindset. Let me just tell you, he was really heavy and active in the prepping community as well beforehand. And he started seeing the same things that I saw back about 10 years ago when I got into the prepping community, which was, how are we going to figure out the reload, guys? Like, what are we going to do after year two? You know, it drove us into agriculture and it drove us into permaculture. But there's a lot of people that are still stuck there not understanding, hey, make design changes to the land that you have, and you will get to see the abundance of what can come out of it. This guy as well, he's got a website, I believe that's Survival Garden or survivalgardening.com. But this is just a little tiny book that's called Grocery Row Gardening. David the Good is his YouTube channel, and he's got a website as well at Survival Gardening. But he puts out a lot of incredible content too, because he's a dad who's got a lot of children and a lot of mouths to feed. And he was trying to find ways to do that effectively. And all these guys are strong believers, and they are people that are adamantly juxtaposed to the systems of evil and control that are out there. And then they're trying to bring real world solutions for the long term to people through what you eat and providing for yourselves, your food, your clothing, your medicines, to get your family the basic needs that they have, but not just for you, but for an abundance of others, because this is what makes you essential. When I spent all this time down on that farm in Florida, learning from somebody who was an absolute brilliant manager of the property, he took this little 10-acre chunk of sand and former fruit orchard that got decimated from one of these man-made engineered diseases, and he turned it into a food forest following these types of design principles that's providing hundreds of families their food every week. Hundreds of people are able to eat non-genetically engineered, pure, actual food. His idea behind the farm was he wanted people to be able to taste and see that God was good when they ate his produce. And I am telling you, when you eat food that has been given everything it needed to thrive, it is such a life-giving substance. It changes you internally, and it finally sets your mind free to be able to make decisions and rip you out of that cognitive dissonance where you've been stuck in the sand for so long. And suddenly you're able to think, and suddenly you're able to make calculated decisions that impact the lives of the people around you. And you know what? That's what people need to see. And it's absolutely my goal to be an evangelist for the kingdom of righteousness and for people to understand there is an abundance of good news waiting when you go outside and you work in the way that we are supposed to in nature. The Father will bless it and help you provide everything you've ever needed.
Well, I know that's true. And God has made that clear to me time and time and time again in my own life. Sometimes when a door closes, guys, God opens the windows and the back door and the garage door and all the doors open. Honestly, God's got our back on this thing. I guess my final question for you, and it's a sincere one, is stay and fight the Bolsheviks in the drones, in the evil criminal government, if and when the time comes, or if it's 1937 Germany, do you look for an exit strategy to save your family and your children? Honest question. And I don't think there's a wrong answer, but I really value your answer.
Man, I'm totally biased on this one because I'm a fighter. I am fundamentally a fighter, and I don't ever want to miss out on one, you know? And I've got a young, small, I've got four children now. I'll tell you, I engineered my life very differently 10 years ago, and I engineered my relocation plans a lot differently when I didn't have a small family that I had to move around, or a bigger family that I had to move around. I made decisions differently because of the stage of life I was in. And each one of you is in a different stage of life. And you, those are going to be the lenses that you're going to have to view the world from, you know. But we traveled 150,000 miles around this country. And I traveled internationally as well, speaking at different places in different countries. I traveled into the southernmost parts of Mexico and the northern parts of Mexico. I went all over this world examining different places and trying to figure out where would be that ideal place. And let me just tell you, My mind always goes, I'm biased towards food cultivation. I want passive productivity. Those are like the goals in my life, because I understand fundamentally I got to feed myself and I got to feed those that I'm entrusted with. And so for me, that makes me make a lot of climate-based decisions about where I can live and where food's going to grow and where can I still operate with the maximum amounts of freedom within those areas. And so some of my favorite places in the entire world were in Mexico, in a place called Oaxaca. Loved it down there. Absolutely loved it. But I've also seen what has taken place in a lot of the changes that were down there. One of my next places for outside of the country that I was always wanting to look at and live was in Colombia. If you equatorial mountains, you want to go high elevation at the equator, you know, that's like the ideal permanent spring. You know, that's where everything wants to grow, and it's not too hot. It's not too humid. It's not too dry. It's like kind of the Edenic garden-esque area, like another place in Hawaii. But then we also got to see how fast in a crisis, some of these places get turned inside out. And one of my mentors along the way in permaculture built out his entire redoubt out there in Colombia in literally the same area that was like my dream. And he did it for 7 years. And he showed me what he was able to do there and just the incredible productivity. But ultimately, at the end of the day, He felt called back to the States, that he was responsible to come back and bring the information, the skills that he had, and try to make that something that people could do here and train and teach up another generation on how to do that successfully, to take care of themselves and their families and their communities here in the United States. And you know what? That's where I have been called to do. My mission field is here, and I am absolutely committed to fighting it out as long as the Father has had me. I'm his servant. I'm his bondservant. I've made myself available to him, and I make myself a servant to the nations. And you know what? I have never found any area in the entire country as good, as fruitful for that resistance that I believe we are all gearing up for as in the Appalachian Mountains. I've been to the Ozarks. I've been to the Pacific Northwest. I've been all over this country. But let me tell you, you need an abundant supply of water, and you need a reasonable climate, temperate climate. It makes everything so much easier. I know a lot of people got pushed towards the Pacific Northwest in Idaho and in areas of Montana and stuff like that. But let me tell you, there's a culture creep that's coming in from all these areas, and the use of gentrification to drive people out. And the biggest thing you run into when you go out west is water rights. And let me tell you, that's the area that they'll target. Like even now, today, you can watch in Israel and in Palestine how they're going after the resistance fighters. They're literally taking concrete trucks and going over to the springs, filling them in with concrete. So let me tell you, if you're in an area that's a desert and you have one supply of water, let me tell you, you are screwed if they shut that off. That's how they can control people. Because you know what? You can store up a lot of food. Storing up rainwater is illegal in a lot of places. Storing up, making even a swale or a pond is illegal in a lot of these places. So trying to find areas, whether it's in Tennessee, I know a lot of amazing people that went into eastern Tennessee or western North Carolina or even northern Georgia, and places where their freedoms aren't quite as infringed upon and they can make a lot of decisions. There's a lot of areas and beauty that are in the Appalachians that have always appealed to me. And anywhere I've seen success in a lot of these systems that I've embraced over the years, it's there. And I also say it's one of the least infiltrated places that I have found as well. So I fundamentally, Sean, I am called to fight, and I'm called to try to teach and train up anybody that is willing to try to continue on in this battle. And for me, I've made my commitment to be here as long as the Father would have me. I've been over to Afghanistan. I've been at different places, but you know what? This is my mission field, and that's where I'm going to serve in as long as I have the opportunity to do so. But everybody's got to make those own decisions. I don't think there is anywhere that the tendrils of that, of the beast system are not going to eventually reach. So pick wisely. You know, I'd rather choose the battlefront as a place that I'm more familiar with than a place where I am 100% outsider.
Yeah, I love that answer. And I'll tell you this, that I think that based on the fact that this criminal government couldn't control Afghanistan, couldn't control Iraq, this criminal government can't control the 50 states and we the people. But that's why they've opened the doors to their Bolshevik revolutionaries, their military-aged young men, to do the dirty bidding of these people. That's the part that really has been a game changer, as I've been an observer and a newscaster and a broadcaster and somebody's really trying to document the collapse. That's the big game changer, opening these borders and allowing millions of military-aged men in that are now getting the benefits that our veterans aren't even getting. That's how you know we're very, very, very close to what these people ultimately want, which is a communist revolution. God help us if they steal another election. So I'll keep saying it, guys. It's very important to me. I know a lot of people say nothing's going to change under Trump. Well, we shall see, because I'll tell you what's going to change if Trump doesn't get in. Lights go out. That's it. Game over for America. And then we're talking about the kind of warfare that Nathan's good at. We're not all good at that kind of warfare, I can assure you that. Nathan, we love you. Tell us about the website, will you?
You bet. Hey, but you all can be good at planting seeds. I'm telling you, we can drive them back by planting those seeds. This is my website, you guys, snatchedfromtheflames.com. You guys can find my resources there, all of the videos that I put out, audiobook. I have an ebook as well, Snatched from the Flames, chronicling my journey of coming out of one of these Luciferian families and a lot of the truths that I found that really transformed my life. I have also available the audio scriptures. To me, that is the place where I have found the foundations of my life and a restoration of my identity. You guys can also find me at Rumble, at Nathan Reynolds or the Linen Railroad or Snatched from the Flames. You guys can find me there, and YouTube at Nathan Reynolds and TikTok at Snatched from the Flames. So Sean, thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to come out here. I always enjoy doing this with you. And I pray that each and every one of you guys would go bold and courageous and not be afraid of any of those sovereign's commands.
God bless you, brother. I always enjoy doing these as well. We'll get you on the calendar again. And until next time, may God truly bless you and your lovely family, Nathan. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Friends, thanks so much. Really, truly, from the bottom of my heart, you know, I take heat in the comments because I really do wear my emotions on my sleeve. I wear my heart on my sleeve. So when I tell you we're going to Mexico to check things out, and I tell you the places we've gone and what I'm finding, I'm just trying to provide you with intel because I really do think this is basically we're in Germany, 1936, 1937. But I think we've gotten some really, really fantastic intel tonight from Nathan. And I'll remind you all, for real news every single day, please visit us directly at sgtreport.com. That's my little website, and it's beyond the reach of Big Brother. It's the real news that the mainstream horror mockingbird media will never share with you and yours. Until next time, God bless.
This is not only the deadliest drug out, this is very important to understand for the viewers. This is the most injurious drug in the history of military warfare. This has a higher injure to kill ratio than any military war in the last half a century. And it has the highest injure to kill ratio of any drug ever put out. The butchers, Borla and Bansal, have murdered, killed, and injured 585 million global citizens. And that was of last September. Many would argue many more by now.